There's a view that Aboriginal people are good because they've become a certain sort of racial characteristics, that they're fast, they can jump high, and those sorts of things. So they're sort of a one part of the argument, but it's also got to have some things in your environment that make you good. So you can't just be born with these sort of great sort of natural characteristics, but you've got to also have something in your environment that makes you good. So we were interested in the other side of the discussion, the sort of nature versus environment type things. We were very much involved in the sort of nurture part. What were the things in their sort of lives that made them really good sports people, especially given that there's so many Indigenous boys now playing in the AFL and the NRL?
Why did you think it was important to research this subject?
Yeah, we wanted to push back against the myth that Aboriginal people are born good and that's why they're good at sport. So we wanted to interrogate that a little bit and try and sort of see what other things are happening in people's lives. And also, our results came out that, you know, sport plays a much more important part in Aboriginal communities than just producing elite sports people. So that was one of the other reasons we were interested in doing the research. So it had a couple of different layers to it.
What kind of role does sport play in Aboriginal and Indigenous communities?
It's one of the big things that draws Aboriginal communities together. So, for instance, a good example would be in the first weekend in October each year, they had the Aboriginal Rugby League knockout where you'd get, you know, 60, 70 teams from around New South Wales playing it. So it's one of the biggest sporting events in Australia, but no one really knows about it. So from that point of view, it's an opportunity for people to get together. It's a really important part of community life. And if you go to small country towns around country, you'll see that Aboriginal people are participating in sport. And without their participation, all those sort of rural competitions would probably fold. So, and it's also one of the areas since colonisation that Aboriginal people have had access to, although it's not always been uniform and that often relied on local attitudes towards Aboriginal people, but it has been one of the areas where Aboriginal people have been had access to and became very successful at, even in sort of a limited way.
And what's the methodology of your research?
We interviewed 8 Indigenous rugby league players and we interviewed 8 AFL players. And so what we did, we basically asked them to tell us their life history. So it was we took an oral history from them. So we might ask what were some of the things that enabled them to make it to the NRL or the AFL, or who were the major influential people in their lives. So apart from one or two prompt questions, it was all about them telling us their history.
So what were some of the key findings?
Okay, so the first one was these guys come from communities where sport's highly valued. It's a very important cultural life. And for some of them, they even felt that playing team sports was a reflection of Aboriginal culture. It's about, you know, having a common goal, teamwork, and the collective mentality about the world. The second thing is that although they specialise in their sports from a very early age, they play a whole range of different sports. So they're not concentrating on one sport from a very early age. So some of these guys would play rugby league, AFL, they could box, they could run, they play basketball, and they play a whole range of sports like that. And I think that is one of the things that we arrived at, that this is the things that makes them extremely skillful. They have a broad range of skills which they can then use in their chosen sport when they decide to specialise. They've got great problem-solving skills, they've got great anticipation, and we believe that comes from that range of skills that they develop from playing a whole range of different sorts of sports. And the third one, which we think is really important, is that they play a lot of games outside with their friends. So they would play backyard games amongst their siblings and their cousins and their wider community. And they would make up games. So they would invent games, or they would play games from the resources they had around them. So, you know, they might find like an old Coke bottle, for instance, and they would seal it and they would use that for a football, or they would invent games. And we also think that that's one of the key reasons why these guys become such good footballers, because they learn to play in environments that are challenging, they have to problem solve, and they have to be inventive.
So what surprised you about your findings?
One of the things that did surprise us a little bit was one of the things that a lot of these guys struggled with when they came to the AFL and the NRL was that they didn't have the physical development that the other players had, so that was something they had to make up. So they were extremely skillful and could do fantastic things on the football ground, but they had to spend a lot of time getting stronger, maybe building up their aerobic base, just generally getting fitter. They had great speed and anticipation, but that was a bit of a challenge for them. So I think whilst the main outcomes, we sort of had an inkling that that's what they might be, but we were surprised just at how important they were to the development of the players.
What was the purpose of this research? Like, what's its application going to be?
The spin-off now for elite sport is to try and understand how they can get they're developing players in similar situations. So how do you get a young 14 or 15-year-old boy or girl who wants to play in those particular sports exposed to the sorts of game variations that we saw in these particular players? So how do we get them exposed to, you know, maybe inventing their own games? Because I think when we look at the great players in sport, you know, they're always, you have great anticipation, they can react to situations, they're creative. How do we create those situations back with the emerging players in society? The other thing too is that it's also important, because we've also got on the other side of the coin, kids don't play as much sport as they used to. So playing different sports and having fun inventing your own sports could be the key to unlocking how we get a whole bunch of kids from a very young age involved in sports, so we don't see the sorts of rise in obesity and type 2 diabetes in kids that we're starting to see today.
I feel like you see it a lot in women's sports now as they're getting bigger, like with the women's AFL. A lot of those women didn't grow up playing AFL because there just wasn't the clubs available.
That's right.
But they had backgrounds in soccer or basketball, and that's why they're good AFL players.
Well, if you look at the Australian women's sevens team, and they weren't recruited from a body of women that played sevens, because sevens was an established sport for women here in Australia. So they had to go out and actively recruit players from football, they came from rugby league, they came from athletics, they came from a whole range of sports, netball, to make up their side that won a gold medal. So, you know, that's a really good example of players who don't come from a highly specialised background. And I think that's one of the mistakes we're making in sport, is that we expect kids to make early decisions about what sport they want to play without thinking about, is it detrimental to their long-term development?